if someone had to choose one Lashon of Chazal that is indicative of the significance of Chag HaShavuos, I think it would be the Lashon of the Mishnah of Maseches Avos, of Moshe Kibal Torah Mesinai V'Sar Yeshua, Yeshua Zekenim, Zekenim Neviim, Neviim Israel Anshekes Agdola. That expresses the significance of Matan Torah and Maamid Har Sinai, and our belief in Maamid Har Sinai, in Torah Mesinai, and that the Torah that we have is a Mesorah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was Makabal at Har Sinai. So this certainly is a very significant Mishnah as far as Chag HaShavuos is concerned. It's interesting that there is a minhag of Klal Yisrael to learn Maseches Avos that begins with this expression, with this Maamar Chazal, between Pesach and Shavuos. Now the minhag is to learn Maseches Avos between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah. But that wasn't the original minhag. The original minhag that began in the days of the Gaonim was to learn Maseches Avos between Pesach and Shavuos. Each Shavuos to learn one parak. Actually, in the Masechta of Avos itself, there's only five prakim. The sixth parak, which is a collection of brises about Talmud Torah, the significance of Talmud Torah, that was added. And that in itself is indicative of the fact that the limud of Maseches Avos from Pesach Shavuos is a preparation, is a hachana for Matan Torah. And that's how the original minhag began. It's important to learn Maseches Avos in Pesach and in Shavuos. When we're counting a sphira, preparing for Matan Torah, you have to learn Maseches Avos. And to complete the limud of six Shabbosim between Pesach and Shavuos, so it was added a parak of Maamar Chazal about the significance of Talmud Torah, but it's all indicative of what we're doing. We're preparing for Matan Torah. Well, how are we preparing for Matan Torah from Maseches Avos? Apparently, the limud of Midos, the limud of proper character traits, is a necessary preparation of Matan Torah. One can't prepare for Matan Torah without learning about Midos. Now, why is that so? So that's what I want to discuss. So let's consider the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah speaks of Moshe Kibal Torah Mesinai V'Sar Yeshua. Yeshua is a Kain, V'Sakein HaMeviyam, HaMeviyam Yisroel HaAnshek Nesagdola. So this is describing the Mesorah of Torah. But the Mishnah uses the Lashon of Mesorah twice. Mesorah LeYoshua, and a Neviyah Mesorah LeAnshek Nesagdola. So the question is why? Either use the Lashon of Mesorah consistently, or don't use it at all. Or if you use it at the very beginning, fine. But to use it only at two stages of the Mesorah and not at the others, that requires an explanation. Moshe Kibal Torah Mesinai V'Sar Yeshua. Not for Yeshua Mesorah L'Zakenim. Yeshua Zakenim. Zakenim Neviyim. Neviyim Mesorah L'Anshek Nesagdol. So why specifically at those stages of Mesorah does the Mishnah describe it in this way? Mesorah L'Yeshua, Neviyim L'Sarul L'Anshek Nesagdol. So that's one question. The other question is a question that is very frequently asked. Why the Mishnah used the Lashon of Moshe Kibal Torah Mesinai? The Torah doesn't say, and the Mishnah doesn't say, Moshe Kibal Torah Me'akadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it expressed in this way? It's also interesting to consider, this is the beginning of Maseches Avos. The end of Maseches Avos, which is Perek Hay, so talks about Talmud Torah. The beginning is about Torah, and the end of the Sech is about Torah. The last Mishnah speaks of the importance of Talmud Torah in a person's life, how every stage of his life he should look to the Torah for guidance. Okay, when Bag Bag Omer Hafachba Hafachba the Chulava, Vasechaze the Civil Vleva Ominolo Tazua, as you should, Torah should be your accompaniment every step of your life, every step of your day, every day of your life. When you're young, as you get old, it's Hafachba Hafachba the Chulava. Seek out guidance at every stage, everything you do, everything you do, from being a youngster to being an old man. The answers are in the Torah. That's your guiding light. And then ben hei omer lufum tzaraga. Then limud Torah, it's a question of mesiras nefesh. What's crucial about limud Torah is the mesiras nefesh a person has with Torah. Different people have different schedules. One has to be moser nefesh for limud Torah. It's the devotion and dedication that is so significant. But before that, the Mishnah speaks about ben chamesh shana mikra. It defines a person's life in terms of limud Torah from his youth to his old age. Ben chamesh shana mikra, ben ezer shana mishnah, ben shlosh esrei mitzvos, ben chamesh esrei legemara, ben shmona esrei lechuppah, ben esrei lirdof, and even these descriptions of chuppah, lirdof, koach, bina, eitza, zikna, seva, vura, they may be including other aspects of a person's life as well, but it's still defining how a person should live by the Torah. If one, we don't have time to delve into it now, but it's all about limud Torah and how a Torah molds a person's life, and that everything a person does should be based upon limud Torah. It's too bad we don't have that much time to discuss this in detail, but I do want to make mention, I've mentioned this story before, I don't remember if I mentioned it recently or not, that the story is told about Reb Chaim Volozhiner. So he was the founder of the Volozhiner Yeshiva, so that's a long time ago, that's about 200 years ago. So he went to Anshul Rothschild. Anshul Rothschild he's the founder of the Rothschild dynasty. He wanted to ask money for the yeshiva. Okay. So he came to the door, so the secretary answered the door and told him that Mr. Rothschild doesn't have time to see him. So he said to him, tell him that I'm only going to tell him one word. Okay, that's all I'm going to tell him, one word. So he went back, got the consent, okay, come in to say one word. So he said to him, Gemara. That was the word he said. So he was very intrigued. He said, you came here just to tell me one word? So he said, Gemara means, in Yiddish, Gut Morgen Rabanchel. Okay. I assume everybody knows what that means, even if you don't speak Yiddish. Okay. Gut Morgen Rabanchel. So he said, you came here just to say good morning. So he said, Gemara. So he said, what do you mean Gemara? So he said, Gemara means Gimel Mamre Shalom, right? That's good morning, Ravanshal. It means give mos Ravanshal. In other words, give money. Okay, that's what it means. So he gave him money for the yeshiva. So he didn't say thank you. He said, Gemara. So he said, what does Gemara mean? He said, Gemara means, again, the Gimel Mem Reish Aleph. Give Mer Rav Anshel. Unless you have to give more. And he gave him more. Now, what's the point of this story? At least the message I take from this story is that when we learn Gemara, we're not just learning Gemara. It's a guide for everything we do in life. Everything. It tells you how to live. It tells you how to spend money too. It tells you every detail of your life comes from our involvement in limud Torah. And this is what the Mishnah is saying. It tells you how to say good morning. It tells you how to be a decent human being. A person has to know how to say good morning. You have to know how to greet people. You have to know how to greet people. You have to know how to give money. You have to know when to give more. You have to know when to give less. It's hafach ba, the chulava, uvotecha zeh, v'sivav leva, minolat azor. She'en lecha mida tova imena. There's nothing else that can guide you properly other than your involvement in the Midah Torah. And what is so significant about it is the Mesiras Nefesh. Different people have different schedules. Different people have different obligations, different responsibilities. What's important is fum tzara'aga. The more devoted a person is to Limud Torah, to the extent he's devoted, he'll derive inspiration from Limud Torah. So the Masechta begins with Limud Torah and ends with Limud Torah. But what we see here is that the Limud of Midos is a Hachana for Talmud Torah, for Matan Torah. Why is that? So I would explain that based upon something the Rav says, and it's in one of his drashas, but it's printed in his book, Family Redeemed. He basically points out, I'm saying it in very brief terms, that there are two distinctive aspects in Talmud Torah. One is a mitzvah yediyas haTorah. It's a mitzvah to acquire knowledge. That's one mitzvah. Then there's a mitzvah of kviyas itam haTorah, to set aside a definite time for Talmud Torah, bayom v'layom. When we talk about yediyas haTorah, schedule and kviyas doesn't matter. And what matters is the results. When it comes to yediyas haTorah, a person has to maximize yediyas. From the perspective of yediyas haTorah, a person should learn in the way that will produce results. What counts is the result, the amount of knowledge one acquires, not whether he systematically followed a fixed schedule. I don't really care whether it's a fixed schedule or you have a set time, a set saver. If you can learn more from the perspective by having a non-fixed schedule, that would be better from the perspective of Yedei Zatar. But Kviyas Itam doesn't speak of what you accomplish, it speaks of how you accomplish. You require definite hours. There has to be definite hours to be set aside. Why? Because on one level, Talmud Torah is an intellectual activity. Okay, that's Yediyas HaTorah. But on another level, Talmud Torah is a relationship with the Torah. It's not just an intellectual activity. It's a relationship with the Torah. It's a meeting with the Torah. And when we speak of a meeting with the Torah, we're speaking of a meeting with the Shekhinah. Because the Shekhinah and the Torah are inseparable. So Talmud Torah is a relationship with the Torah and a relationship with the Shekhinah. And in a relationship, punctuality, sincerity, and commitment are of utmost importance. You can't have a relationship that's haphazard. You can't have a relationship. When I'm free, I'll see you. That's not a relationship. Even if, in a certain respect, you'll be able to do more for that person by doing it when you're free, the relationship will fall apart. A relationship requires a certain commitment, a certain punctuality. I have a set time. I have a commitment to meet you at such and such a time. And I'll be there. And you come and you're there. That is a foundation for a relationship. You can't have a relationship with the Torah and with the Shekhinah if it's haphazard. Today I'm a little busy. I'm a little busy. I'm sorry. I can't see you at this time. I'll find some other time for you. That's not a relationship. Okay? So kviyas itam haTorah, you don't have this by other mitzvahs. By other mitzvahs, there's no obligation to do the mitzvah at a set time. Talmud Torah, there's halacha, one has to kvei itam haTorah. And why is that? Because a person has to view Talmud Torah as a relationship with the Torah and with the Shekhinah. So Talmud Torah, as the Rav explains, it begins as intellectual activity, but it develops into an experience. An experience of learning from the Shekhinah, of learning from the Melamed Torah L'Amo Yisrael. Let me read a quotation from the Rav. It says as follows. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah begins as intellectual activity which requires exertion, concentration, absorption, a trained logical mind. The aim of this activity is acquisition of knowledge. However, once the activity is initiated, it turns into a great total experience of meeting Shekhinah, of having a rendezvous with God, end quote. So there's a dual aspect. There are dual aspects in Talmud Torah. Let me read another quotation. It says, the process of learning Torah is both esoteric and exoteric. Okay, I'll interrupt the quotation. There's a note at the bottom, an editor's note. It says, esoteric means restricted to a small group, while exoteric means open to the public, I guess. The editors thought people might not understand it. Okay. I don't know why only these phrases does that have to note. So let's go back to the quotation. The process of learning Torah is both esoteric and exoteric. Everyone remembers what they are? Okay. At the esoteric level, the brilliant mind accomplishes more, the dull less. This cannot be helped. No process of democratization can change the character of education from esoteric into exoteric. There is an aristocracy of the brains, an institution which Congress cannot abolish. An intellectual gesture is esoteric. However, when we come upon the second aspect of Talmud Torah, as a rendezvous with Shechina, as a meeting with God, the act of Talmud Torah becomes exoteric and completely democratized. So there's a difference between Talmud Torah on intellectual level and as a meeting with the Shekhinah. When it's a meeting with the Shekhinah, it applies equally to everyone. What does it depend upon from Sarah Agra? Devotion, commitment, Mesiras Nefesh. When it comes to Yedias HaTorah, reality is reality, and the brilliant person can achieve more in Yedias HaTorah than the one who's not brilliant. That's reality. That's how Rav Arshon created the world. But when it comes to a meeting with the Shekhinah, the person who's brilliant does not have any advantage over the person who's not brilliant. He does not become closer to the Shekhinah because he knows Shas Baal Peh. That's not what determines to the extent of a relationship with the Shekhinah, where the terms is Mesiras Nefesh. And the person who's not brilliant, who puts in more effort, more devotion, more Mesiras Nefesh, achieves more in this realm of the relationship with the Shekhinah to the Talmud Torah than the person who's brilliant. It's all a question of Mesiras Nefesh, commitment. And that's what Kriyas Yitzhak Torah is all about. Again, a quotation from the Rav. In respect to the rendezvous with the Shekhinah through the study of Torah, centrality has been assigned to the effort. The results are of marginal significance. The worth of the meeting between man and Shekhinah is determined by the sincerity of the commitment, by the intensity of the dedication, by the warmth of the encounter, by the love and passion of the God-questing individual, and not by the brilliance of the performance. The Gaon and the dull person, the great mind and the simpleton, share in the redemptive, hallowing experience in accordance with the effort. L'fum tzara agra. According to the labor is the reward. But now, that's the end of the quotation. In understanding this, we can understand why Midos, character, is so important to Talmud Torah. If you want to study mathematics, Midos is not relevant. It's not. Science, you can be a great scientist, even if your character is terrible. But when it comes to Torah, when we're talking about a meeting with the Shekhinah, one cannot establish a meeting with the Shekhinah, a relationship with the Shekhinah, unless he strives to perfect his personality. There can't be a relationship if one possesses Midos Ravs. And that's why Maseches Avos is the Hachana for Talmud Torah. That's why it's the Hachana. And that's why Moshe Kivel Torah Sinai, and the Rav points this out, not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that would imply that somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated himself from the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never separated himself from the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu maintains that connection with the Torah. And when Moshe was Makabal Torah Misinai, that means he was Makabal this idea of learning Torah from the Shekhinah. And what did he transmit to Yoshua? He transmitted the ability to have a relationship with the Shekhinah through Talmud Torah. It wasn't only the Dinei HaTorah he transmitted. He transmitted Talmud Torah as a relationship with the Shekhinah. And I believe that's why the Lashon of Chazal is Umasara. Because there was a huge gap between Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon Kol HaNaviim, and any other human being in terms of the ability to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu Pe'el Be'a Damerlo, the Torah says. Moshe Rabbeinu had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that no other human being can even imagine. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu transmit our ability to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Talmud Torah? He learned Torah from the Shekhinah, Pe'el Pe'. So he had to be the master teacher. He was Moshe Rabbeinu, not only because he taught us the Dinei HaTorah, but he taught us how to relate to the Shekhinah through Talmud Torah. He had to bridge this gap. It required a heroic act of Mesira. Moshe Rabbeinu Kilo Torah Misinai Umesara Yeshua. Yeshua was a Kenan. There wasn't that same gap. It was Kenan Leviam. Neviim is for Anshei Chesed-Gdol. Once you're speaking about the Neviim and the Anshei Chesed-Gdol, there was a gap again, because the Neviim, they were individuals that, yes, the Torah wasn't revealed to them through Nevuah. Lo b'shamayim, the Torah is only revealed through Moshe Rabbeinu. But they still were individuals that communicated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For them to feel and experience a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was entirely different than other human beings, even great human beings like the Anshei Chesed-Gdol. So there too there was a gap, but still they too were following the example of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were determined to be master educators and to transmit the Mesorah, not only of Dinei HaTorah, of ability to experience a relationship with the Shekhinah through Talmud Torah. And that's expressed with this Neviim Esruel, Anshei Chesed-Gdol, they were able to bridge that gap. And that's what Chag HaShavuos is for us. Chag HaShavuos is the day when we celebrate and recognize the fact the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. It was given to Klal Yisrael. We have the schus to be able to learn Torah, each person to achieve Yedias HaTorah Fi Kocho, but at the same time to focus on the relationship that we can have with Kadosh Baruch Hu through Talmud Torah. And that's what Maseches Avos is. It's the preparation for Matan Torah. It begins with Torah, it ends with Torah. The limud of midos is the means by which we can perfect our personalities. It's a constant process, it doesn't end. We aspire towards perfecting our personalities and prepare ourselves for this great relationship that one can have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu through Talmud Torah.